Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. Topping the news, the head of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, John Brennan, said Friday Islamic State is well-armed and financed but not invincible. He said the U.S.-led coalition airstrikes have softened many of the militants' forces and that they are serious signs that its engine is suffering. Also on Friday, Iraqi government forces pressed on with their massive offensive to retake Tikrit from the Islamic State, which has reportedly begun to lose ground in Iraq. Egypt's Arab neighbors and international partners, including the United States, gathered in the Sinai resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh Friday to pledge economic and moral support to rebuilding Egypt's economy. Edward Uranian reports.
President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi opened the economic conference with a pledge to reform and modernize the workings of Egypt's economy and appealed to international allies to invest in his country's future prosperity. He said his government was aiming to create 6% economic growth over the next 5 years to build jobs and cut unemployment to 10%. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry pledged American support for Egypt's bid to reform and rebuild its economy, saying the country's future political success depends on strong economic growth. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
An American health worker infected with Ebola while working in Sierra Leone has been admitted to the National Institute of Health Hospital outside of Washington. There for treatment, the patient is said to be in serious condition. World Health Organization says Ebola has killed 10,000. This is U.S. and Cuban officials will launch a third round of talks on Monday, process of restoring diplomatic relations. Two sides last met in Washington in late February. Negotiators have been discussing issues that include reopening embassies in Washington and Havana following five decades of estrangement. U.S. imposed a trade embargo on Cuba in 1960 and closed its embassy the following year. In January, following an initiative announcement by President Obama, the two sides began a series of meetings to reestablish ties. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko said Friday that there has been a gradual de-escalation in the fighting with Russian-backed separatists in the east. Mr. Poroshenko also said if the fighting flares up again, Ukraine will immediately receive lethal weapons from European Union nations. He did not say who has promised the arms and the exact kinds of weapons. Ukraine and the separatists signed a ceasefire last month and Minsk and promised to withdraw their heavy weapons. Despite frequent shelling, observers say the truce has generally been holding. While Ukraine's leadership says the fighting has eased, Human Rights Watch said Friday that the government-imposed travel restrictions are seriously delaying the delivery of medical help to rebel-controlled areas in eastern Ukraine. Euro has fallen sharply, hitting its lowest level in 12 years compared to the U.S. dollar. VOA's Jim Randall has details.
European officials are working to revive economic growth by pushing down long-term interest rates through a complex program called quantitative easing. Lower interest rates make it easier for businesses to borrow the money needed to buy new buildings and equipment and expand operations and hire more people. But low interest rates also mean investors take their money elsewhere in search of better returns. That reduces demand for euros and causes the value of the currency to fall. By contrast, the United States cut interest rates some time ago, has resumed growing, and is getting ready to raise interest rates. That is attracting more investment, boosting demand for dollars, and raising the value of the dollar. Jim Randall, VOA News, Washington.
Well, Francis has marked the second anniversary of his election. He did that on Friday. The Pope thanked everyone for their warm welcome and asked all to pray for him. And commemorating his anniversary on Friday, the 78-year-old Pope also announced an extraordinary Holy Year of Mercy, as he put it. The year will begin on December 8th and will focus on the theme of mercy. And four identical U.S. spacecraft have been launched to study powerful magnetic fields that surround the Earth. Get more news at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
This is Russ Davis. Welcome to another edition of Jazz America. On this edition of the program, we'll pay homage to the passing of one of the greats of jazz history, the marvelous trumpeter, and what a spirit he was too, Clark Terry, who died on the 21st of February at the age of 94. Few of us will ever be able to say we had as fruitful a time on earth as Clark Terry did. As I said, 94 years of marvelous life and artistry that he shared with the world. We'll get the story from Clark Terry himself in a special presentation at the 2006 International Association for Jazz Education Conference in New York City as he tells his story, and we'll help him tell that story by giving you some of his marvelous music. But let's begin this edition of Jazz America with an artist who passed away far too early, at the age of 45 years old. The great guitarist from Indianapolis, Indiana, Wes Montgomery, was born on the 6th of March in 1923, but passed away in June of 1968. And that was the year he recorded the brilliant work that became one of his most famous and popular albums ever, Road Song. Recorded almost exactly 1 month before his passing with the help of greats like Herbie Hancock, Hank Jones, drummer Grady Tate, bassist Richard Davis, all joined with him to create this masterwork. And here's the title cut, the late great Wes Montgomery, Road Song, to begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
even though a word was never spoken by the singer that you just heard, I wonder if you were able to discern who that singer was. Well, we did it old school to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America, going back to 1957 for a live performance by Ella Fitzgerald and the Duke Ellington Orchestra, recorded in New York City. And I have a feeling that Clark Terry... Last week, you may remember, we played his famous song, Mumbles, on which he also gave us some wordless vocal along with his trumpet playing. Well, he probably was inspired by hearing Ella Fitzgerald do what you just heard, the song Rockin' in Rhythm, and other examples of scat singing and using her voice as an instrument. And he kind of followed suit with his famous vocalizing, if you will, that went with his trumpet playing. Clark Terry, by the way, was in Duke Ellington's orchestra for a number of years. In fact, he has the distinction of not only being a part of Duke Ellington's band, but also Count Basie's band, too. What an incredible life story is that of the late, great Clark Terry, who died last month at the age of 94. Let's listen in on some of that story as he gave us a presentation in New York City at the 2006 International Association for Jazz Education Conference. In the presentation, he was asked about working with Duke Ellington, and the point was made that Duke Ellington never wanted a song to have a definite ending. He wanted it to always be becoming. Here's what Clark Terry had to say about that.
That's true. He had a, well, I guess it's a weird scene for him. Every time somebody he loved very much would get closer to him, and he'd get closer to them, yeah, this person would pass away. Jonesy, one of the little, you know, the men that worked for him.
Sure.
He gave him all his clothes and,
yeah,
and things, and Jonesy died. And yeah, from that point on, he said he never wanted anybody to be that close to him to make him feel that sad. Yeah.
And another thing he learned from Duke Ellington was, as you're playing, to listen.
That was his pet word. Listen, listen. I remember one time we played a concert in Toronto, I think it was, and we were very, very tired. Sometimes they put a little too much on you for the time that you have to do it. Yeah. And we were tired. Everybody was tired and sleepy and looking tired and sleepy. So, but usually in a case like that, when the jig is up, you really do it, you know. When you're tired, but you're going to overcome that feeling, and you really play better and greater that way. So the band was wailing and that. I remember specifically the particular concert, and the band was cooking, and the next, as quick as they could get the release out on the newspaper, they were saying that Duke's band was tired and droopy and so forth, you know. So one of them happened to come to Duke. You know, he came to the wrong person to complain about his band. The cat said, man, the band sounds tired. So Duke said, the band is tired, but your problem is that you're listening with your eyes instead of your ears. So you have to listen at all times, you know, because you don't know what kind of surprises you're in for. Yeah. You're supposed to be prepared to accept all surprises. And if you don't do that, you're going to be surprised.
Thank you.
There's a large piece of Clark Terry musical history, his collaboration with trombonist Bob Brookmeyer, which began in the middle 1960s. As a matter of fact, this is some of their earliest work together, a song entitled Simple Waltz from the album The Power of Positive Swinging. Bob Brookmeyer, NEA jazz master, just like Clark Terry, worked together for many years, won many awards, and made great music. Well, here's a young man who hasn't been at it as long as those two great NEA jazz masters, Mr. Terry and Mr. Brookmeyer. He is the young pianist from Armenia, Tigran Hamasyan. He has a brilliant new electroacoustic release, and I call that style of music the blending of electronic music and acoustic music in an improvised setting. It's new jazz in every sense of the word. The album is Mock Root. The song is entitled The Grid. The artist is Tigran Hamasyan on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. Jazz born in America and made worldwide at this point. Jazz is certainly a worldwide form of music. And from Armenia, though he spent quite a bit of time in the United States of America, young Mr. Tigran Hamasyan making his statement for jazz in the 21st century. Hope you enjoyed that. More with Clark Terry coming up, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received recently from Emmanuel Ndeto, and he hails from Nairobi, Kenya. He says, "Hi, I'm a regular listener from Nairobi, Kenya. The show is a real joy every week. Please send me the document containing the history of jazz music. Thanks very much, Emmanuel." Well, thank you, Emmanuel, and I did send him along a brief document which I've created that gives you a quick overview of the various phases of jazz history and its 100 plus years in existence. And it is very brief and basically for those who just like to have a point of reference for jazz. Maybe you're just now turning on to the music and you should know a little bit about how it was born and how it's evolved over the years to the point it is today. And we like to give you the best of jazz past and present. Well, you'll learn in that document that jazz was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, blending the European musical instruments in 12-tone scale with African instrumentation and rhythm. And what a wonderful marriage of various styles it was. And down through the years, some of the great names include Clark Terry, who we're focusing on this edition of Jazz America, remembering him having just passed away at the age of 94, and the man who employed him for some years, the great Duke Ellington, who wrote this song. And speaking of jazz past and present, how about this classic song written by Duke, Mood Indigo, brought up to date for the 21st century by the great English singer Annie Lennox. It's from her new album, Nostalgia, and I believe she harkens back to the very beginnings of jazz history with a little bit of New Orleans flavor. Check it out and enjoy here on Jazz America.
Woke up this morning
brand new music from two veteran players, the great pianist Michael Wolff and the great drummer Mike Clark, from their new release, Wolff and Clark Expedition 2, with a little help from Christian McBride on bass and Wallace Roney on trumpet. That's a song dedicated to the late, great Nelson Mandela, entitled Madiba. Well, they brought in a great trumpet player to work with them on that one, Wallace Roney. And speaking of great trumpet players, we're saluting the passing of Clark Terry, dead at the age of 94, in late February. This great NEA jazz master left an incredible legacy, and part of that was his educational efforts. He has helped many a young player, not only in his own bands, but directly, one-on-one, with artists that needed help from time to time. He was instrumental in helping some of the great young artists like Miles Davis get their starts in the music business. And we'll listen in now on some of his comments from the International Association for Jazz Education Conference in New York City in 2006.
Around the St. Louis area, you heard a kid whose last name was Davis.
What did you
hear in him?
His teacher, Elwood Buchanan, was a good... Yeah. Buddy of mine, we used to drink beer together. Uh-huh. And Elwood used to say to me, he taught over in East St. Louis at Lincoln High School, and he said to me, "Man, you got to come over to school and hear this little Dewey Davis. You're not going to believe it." Dewey was his middle name. I think he was named after Dewey Jackson. I used to think he was named after Dewey Jackson, the top trumpeter.
For the riverboats,
But his dad's name was Dewey also. So maybe his dad is not as old as Dewey. And one day I went over and met this little kid, man. He was so thin that he could stand up to ride a rooster. So he used to look down all the time. He'd never look up at you. So when I heard him play, I said, "Wow, this kid."
How old was he about that?
Maybe 11 or 12 years old. You had just gotten into high school.
Now, I just heard that you discovered Nicholas Payton when he was 14 years old.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I was on a tour in Europe, and a guy, I can't think of his name at the moment, but he was a trumpet player.
Yeah.
And he had a bunch of little kids from New Orleans that he had taken over to Europe, and they played on street corners and so forth. And Nicholas was a trombone player. And I got to know him. He was a nice, beautiful little young kid there. And then I had an occasion to go, which I do from time to time, through cities and just say, "Let's get all the kids together." So we put together a thing like a clinic in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And here comes this little kid with a trumpet. I say, "Man, you look like this." "Yeah, I'm the same one." So we indulged him in the clinic, and it was a beautiful thing, and all the kids enjoyed it. And that's when I began to know him as a trumpet player. So he's always been like a family.
Yes, Clark Terry not only took Nicholas Payton and Miles Davis under his wing, but many other great players too, as he taught them lessons and they learned them well. As you're about to hear, Wynton Marsalis visited in hospice Clark Terry just days before he passed away, and he loved and worked with Clark Terry quite a bit. Here is Wynton Marsalis with his fellow trumpeter Roy Hargrove and the aforementioned Nicholas Payton. From Nicholas Payton's album Payton's Place, the album, the song The Three Trumpeters on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. the classic 1010 Dio, interpretation by Toots Thielemans on harmonica, joined by Clark Terry. More of our Salute to Clark Terry next hour. Stay tuned, won't you?